We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Today, though, is also a unique time to remember another event in the nation's history. A lot of us in Western Pennsylvania know about things like the Whiskey Rebellion or the Homestead Strike, things like that. We're always asked about that when we travel around the country. Those are significant events in our region. And there was one that happened just over the border in West Virginia this week. It is significant for another event. On the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, we welcome in Dr. Lou Martin. He's the chair and associate professor of history in the Department of Social Sciences at Chatham University. He's going to shed a little light on the Matewan Massacre. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, the Matewan Massacre happened in the coal fields of West Virginia. Can you just sort of explain how it evolved, how it started, and what it led to?
Well, how it started was in the early 1900s, coal miners in southern West Virginia were trying to join the United Mine Workers of America. The UMWA had formed in 1890 as a way for miners to try to get better wages, better working conditions. But southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky remained non-union. And the coal operators down there thought that by keeping wages low and remaining non-union was the only way they could stay in business. So they fought the union tooth and nail. Now, northern operators around here actually wanted the union because they wanted a standard wage scale across the country. So they actually supported efforts to unionize. And in World War I, so did the federal government, recognizing the right of workers to join unions as long as they didn't strike during the war. But southern West Virginia, as much progress as they had made, as much progress as the union had made, Mingo County, where Matewan is located, was still non-union. So they were making a big push in 1919 and 1920 to try to unionize those miners. The miners came out on strike in the spring of 1920. And the one town where there was an independent government, it wasn't a company town owned by the coal companies, was Matewan. And the chief of police, Sid Hatfield, actually supported the miners. And when the miners were being evicted from their homes, he showed up to stop the private detective force. It was called a detective agency, but it was the Baldwin-Felts Detective Agency. And to stop them from evicting miners and their families from their home, well, the Baldwin-Felts agents got a warrant. They said they were going to arrest Sid and his deputy, Ed Chambers, but instead a gunfight broke out on the railroad tracks there in Matewan.
Wow. How many people were killed?
10 people were killed.
Wow.
Seven of them were the Baldwin-Felts agents. Two were coal miners, and one of them was the mayor of the town.
So they were trying to just stop the eviction, and it just led into a gunfight.
Yeah, it actually led to a disagreement about who had legal authority in that town. And it, really, Sid Hatfield, he didn't want the Baldwin-Felts agents to feel that they had the run of the town, and he was trying to assert his legal authority over them. And they tried to arrest him to take him to another county where he would be put on trial.
Well, they tried to arrest the mayor or the police chief?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Now I can see how the gunfight broke out. They didn't arrest him. Obviously, some of the detectives got killed from the Baldwin-Felts company, but Sid Hatfield met an untimely demise, right?
Yeah, he and his deputy were put on trial for this shootout, but they were acquitted. However, a year later, they were brought up on other charges, and there's not clear whether he was actually guilty of blowing up a coal tipple, but that's what he was charged with. And so he and his deputy went on a train to Welch, West Virginia, in McDowell County, which was also non-union, and it was much more under the control of the coal companies. And as he and his deputy were climbing the courthouse steps, the Baldwin-Felts agents came out from cover. They shot and killed them there on the courthouse steps in front of their wives, too.
That's an amazing story, amazing history. And it happened 100 years ago this week. And Sid Hatfield is related. That's the Hatfield and the McCoys, correct? The same family.
Yeah, I think that there was a distant connection there. He was not in the immediate family of the Hatfields that were involved in the feud later.
So pretty amazing. And you've actually spearheaded a campaign to help educate people in the coal fields in that area about this massacre and other history related to the coal fields. Can you tell us about the museum?
Yeah, I would love to. And I really don't say spearheaded. I say that I joined a group of eight people, and it included a couple of history professors, as well as mine workers, and including an official of the United Mine Workers Local 1440, their inmate one, which is the union they were trying to start in 1920. And a retired school teacher, a community organizer. And we founded the West Virginia Mine Wars Museum in 2015. Our website is wvminewars.com, and we also have a Facebook page. And this was, we had a lot of big plans for this centennial. And, of course, with the coronavirus, we had to put a lot of those on hold now, unfortunately.
WVMineWars.com. That's WVMineWars.com. Dr. Lou Martin, Chair and Associate Professor of History in the Department of Social Sciences at Chatham University, thank you so much for bringing this history back to life and informing us about the Matewan Massacre that happened 100 years ago this week. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for helping to shine a light on it. Thanks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.